If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Mark chapter 1, begin reading with verse number 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing the nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The title of my message today is The Voice. The Voice. Now, it has nothing to do with a TV show by that name, okay? But we're talking about the voice of Jesus. You know, one of the most distinctive things, one of the many distinctive things about all of us as human beings is the sound of our voice. You know, and some people have, I've always wished, especially since I speak for a living, I've always wished I had one of those deep, ponderous, you know, FM radio voices, you know. Unfortunately, I have the one I have, but I should be thankful I have a voice. But our voices are distinctive. You know, you know the sound of the unique sound of the voices of people that you love and people that you are acquainted with. One of the things I like to do, you know, on some TV commercials, they have famous actors, TV and movie actors, do voiceovers while some product is on the screen. You don't see the actor, but you hear them. You ever try and identify whose voice that is? Anyway, well, I do anyway. But as if they're not rich enough, they make extra money by doing voiceovers. But so our voices are distinctive. And certainly would have been wonderful to have heard the voice of Jesus as he spoke. We don't have the ability to hear him physically. But I suggest to you that in a spiritual sense, we need to be familiar with the voice of Jesus when he speaks to us. Do you know that Jesus is still speaking today? Do you know that God is still communicating today? Four times in this passage, there's reference to Jesus speaking. Verse 15 says, he said. Verse 17, Jesus said. Verse 21, Jesus began to teach. Verse 25, referring to something he said, it says, said Jesus. We need to be as spiritually familiar with Jesus' voice communicating to us as we are physically familiar with the voices that we know and love. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." As he spoke 2,000 years ago, Jesus speaks to us today, no matter what our situation is. And we must listen if we are to step into God's possibilities. I'll say that again. We must listen to the voice of Jesus as he speaks to us if we want to truly step into God's possibilities. So for the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, how does the voice of Jesus speak into our lives today? How does the voice of Jesus speak into our lives today? Well, we have a picture of that from this passage. First of all, Jesus' voice announces. Jesus' voice announces. It says here that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming or announcing the good news of God. How many like to hear good news? The world in Jesus' day was desperate for good news. Sound familiar? The world hasn't changed much in that regard, has it? We are desperate for good news. Jesus began his ministry proclaiming or announcing good news. And what was the substance of that announcement? Well, the first part of it was this. The kingdom of God is near. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. If you look in a concordance, look up the word kingdom, you will see it referenced many, many times in the Gospels, usually spoken by Jesus. The kingdom here refers to the rule and authority of God. It has both present and future aspects to it. And Jesus came declaring or announcing that the kingdom age has been inaugurated in the person of Jesus Christ. It will be fully consummated in the future. But Jesus coming to earth, God the Son coming into our world, is the kingdom of God breaking into this world. People need to know today that the kingdom of God has come. People need to know today that God is here, that God's authority is here, that he is moving, that he is active in our world today. So he was announcing that the kingdom of God had come. And the second part of his announcement was what the response to that should be. He said, repent and believe the good news. What does that mean? Well, the word repent is turning our back on sin. It means having a change of mind that leads to a change in behavior. There is no way to fully walk into the possibilities that God has for us, into God's intended future for us, without repentance. It's the starting point. People say, well, you know, I do good works. You hear people say this, I have my faith. Well, doesn't that sound nice? And usually what they mean by that, not always, but often I should say, what they mean by that is, you know, I have some, on some level, a limited awareness of spiritual realities. Well, that's fine and dandy. But true faith in God is represented by repentance, a turn from our previous ways, and then believing the good news. The good news is that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the good news. As I said, there's no way to get around that. And you know, we can try and water down the gospel so it appeals to people, so we don't get a lot of negative comments on social media. We can tell people what they want to hear. But if we're going to speak the truth, if we are going to echo what Jesus announced, we need to echo this, that you must be born again. You need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life, to spend eternity with him. Amen? We can never and must never compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is still announcing the good news today. Amen? He's doing it through us. The Romans could be particularly cruel. We know that they invented the torturous death of crucifixion by which Jesus died. But there was something else that they would do. They would take a captive and physically bind him, join him face to face with a dead body. Poet Virgil describes this cruel punishment. He says, the living and the dead at his command were coupled face to face and hand to hand, till choked with stench and loathed embraces tied, the lingering wretches pined away and died. That is a particularly gruesome picture, isn't it? But I think it illustrates that without Christ, we are shackled to a dead corpse, our sinfulness. Only repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ saves us from this kind of fate. This morning, we may all be believers gathered here today. I hope so. Those of you watching online, I hope you're a believer born again in Jesus Christ. But I take nothing for granted. And so I ask respectfully this question. Have you responded to Jesus' announcement of the kingdom of God by repenting of your sin and trusting in Jesus for your salvation? Jesus is the only way of the Father. He declared that. And he still announces today. And we as his emissaries need to announce that as well in representation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, whether it's a pandemic or an economic downturn or social unrest or all the other things that we've been experiencing for the last year and a half or so, nothing has abrogated the call and the command to go and announce the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's good news. It's not just good news, it's the best news. Hallelujah. Jesus is still announcing. He's still declaring. He's still proclaiming. He is still sharing the good news that the kingdom of God has come. Hallelujah. Jesus' voice announces. Secondly, we see here that Jesus' voice calls. Jesus' voice calls. He issued a call here at the beginning of his ministry. And he came to these fishermen who were casting a net into the lake. They were at work. Imagine being interrupted at work. But they were at work, and Jesus came, and he called to them. And his call consisted of three words. He said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. In the rabbinic schools of the day, the aspiring student would seek out a respected rabbi. The student's allegiance was to the law and not the teacher. But Jesus' form of discipleship is fundamentally different. Instead of us, the students, seeking him, Jesus seeks out the disciples himself. And their allegiance is not to some law, their allegiance is to him. He looks for men and women who will commit to him, who will learn from him, who will deny themselves, who will take up their cross and follow him. And furthermore, there is no prerequisite to following him. He does not tell them, aren't you thankful for this? He does not tell us to improve our character first or to make ourselves more socially acceptable. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't demand that before we follow him? You know, you follow me, but clean up your act first. Get it together first. How many know if we had to clean up our act and get it together, we would never follow Jesus? Because if there's one thing humanity has displayed, it is a dramatic inability to clean up our act and to get it together, especially where sin is concerned. Jesus doesn't say get it together, become socially acceptable. He says, come as you are. Come, follow me. Commit to me. Be focused on me. Make me the priority of your life. Commit to me. Come, follow me. And he's still calling today for people to come follow him. You see, we get off track. We get off message sometimes. We think it's about, the institution of the church or about this social issue or that social issue. And I know social issues are important, but the primary issue is whether or not we are following him. Jesus said, come, follow me. So he calls us to follow him. What's the second part of that call? He calls us to find purpose. I love this. He says, you're fishermen. That's what you do. You fish for fish. But I'm going to change all that. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to give you purpose. He elevated their purpose. He gave them something with eternal meaning to pursue. And that call still goes out. Church, you and I are called to find purpose in doing the work of God. Doesn't matter what our occupation is. I've used this example before. Brother Dave and Linda run Dove Heating and Air Conditioning. How long have you had that business? 36 years. Is that your main focus in life? No, it's not. It's missions. It's evangelism, right? They have that job to make a living, and God's blessed them, but that's not their purpose. You see? You may be an accountant. You may work in an office. You may work in a school. You may be a housewife or a house husband or whatever you may do. But your purpose, yes, there are house husbands, but your purpose needs to be to do the work of God, to attract souls to Jesus Christ, to draw souls to Jesus, to change their eternal destiny to one with Almighty God. Find purpose. A young boy once complained to his father that most of the church hymns were boring. They were too far behind the times. They were tiresome tunes and meaningless words. His father had enough of his son's complaints and he put an end to them. He said, you know, if you think you can write better hymns, then why don't you? So this young boy went to his room and wrote his first hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The year was 1690. The teenager was named Isaac Watts. And among his 350 hymns was another one you might be familiar with. We sing it every December. It's called Joy to the World. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing that this teenage boy found those hymns boring. I'm glad, aren't you? Because Christmas isn't Christmas without Joy to the World. It just isn't, right? Find your purpose. There can be a variety of ways to carry out your purpose, your mission in life, but find your purpose for God. I don't care what your employment is. I don't care what your living situation is. In the midst of that, along with that, you can find purpose for God, like this teenage boy who wrote enduring hymns. Sometimes God calls you to leave your context, to leave the place where you are. We, at one of our ministers' meetings several years ago, there was a man there named Lee McFarland. He's an Assemblies of God minister. But before he worked as a full-time Assemblies of God pastor, he had a pretty important job in a little business you might have heard of, Microsoft. He was pretty high up in the company. He was a Christian. He was a man of faith, and God called him into full-time ministry. And he notified his superiors that he was leaving his employment at Microsoft, and they were aghast. Because apparently, especially if you're high up in the company anyway, Microsoft pays really well, and the benefits and the retirement, you know, the golden parachute, all just exceptional. He was giving all that up. Why would a person do that? Because he found purpose in Jesus Christ. He's a successful pastor, and God has blessed him because he responded to the call of Jesus Christ to find purpose. This morning, I respectfully ask those of you who are here, those of you joining us online, are you following Jesus in every area of your life? And are you living out your God-given purpose? Are you living out your God-given purpose? No matter what your employment, no matter what your life situation, are you living out your God-given purpose? If not, then I respectfully submit to you today that that needs to be a priority in your life. Lord, in my life, in my life situation, see, it's a mistake to think, well, if only things were different, you know, if I had a better job, or if I had a bigger house, if I had more money, if I was married to someone else, if I, you know, if I had all the breaks when I was growing up, but boy, then I could really do something for God. No. God is calling you right where you are to find purpose in Him, to live out that purpose. And once you do that, there's nothing more fulfilling in all your life. Jesus' voice calls us to follow Him and find purpose. Thirdly, Jesus' voice teaches. Jesus' voice teaches. It says that when they came to Capernaum and the Sabbath came, He went in the synagogue and began to teach, and the people were amazed at His teaching. They'd heard rabbis teach before. They'd heard supposed men of God expound the law and expound the Torah. But they said, nobody ever taught like Him. And you see this throughout the Gospels, don't you? When Jesus is teaching and He's dealing with the religious leaders and those who ask Him questions, then they would regularly come, you know this, and try and ask Him questions to trip Him up. And He would give some sort of profound answer, and his questioners would walk away, and the people there would be shaking their heads. They say, this is amazing. Nobody's ever taught like Him. He would teach divine principles. Jesus said that in Matthew's gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, if we hear His words and obey them, we're like a man who built his house on a solid foundation on a rock. And when the storms of life come, our house, our life isn't destroyed. But He said, if we don't follow His teachings, if we don't adhere to what He says, we're like a man who just built his house on the sand, and the wind and the storms come, and the house is destroyed. I say, Pastor Tim, you're really making it simple. No, I'm not. It's that simple. It takes a theologian to complicate it. It's that simple. When we live by what Jesus said, we're going to have a strong foundation. Things are going to work. Oh, we'll have problems still, but we will be solid in the midst of the storms of life. Jesus' voice teaches. Amazingly, He teaches divine principles. And we see here the second aspect of this, Jesus' voice teaches authoritatively. He teaches divine priorities. The people immediately saw a contrast between the teachings of Jesus and the scribes. As I said, they were skilled in the exposition of the Torah or the law of Moses. Later, rabbis could render binding judgment on the interpretation of the law. They were greatly respected, but they stood in opposition to Jesus. These scribes, these religious leaders, got their authority from the traditions of men. Jesus' authority came directly from Almighty God, and that became glaringly apparent as he spoke. Jesus' voice teaches amazingly. He teaches divine principles, and authoritatively, he teaches divine priorities. You know, there are some teachings, some laws, particularly, as I said, what Jesus says, that we have to follow if things are going to work. We had a car issue in right at Christmas time, and our car needed a lot of work, and one of the things it needed was a new battery. And we discovered after that that our electronic key, we didn't know that was the problem at the time, but we would try, and we'd have a problem. We'd get the car home, then we couldn't start it. And I also had a little valet key, just a dumb key. And sometimes I would grab that, and it started right up. But we didn't catch the difference. We had the car taken back to the dealer and back and forth, and he said, we can't find the problem because I sent the valet key. He sent it back. My wife tried to start it. It wouldn't start. Called the service manager and said, it won't start. I've about had it. He said, you've got to be kidding me. Finally figured out the smart keys, the remote keys, needed to be reprogrammed. I couldn't do that. We had to take it there. So we had to take all our keys back. They had to reprogram, and then it worked. It's amazing how things work. But we couldn't figure that out. Is it going to start? Is it not going to start? Depending on which key we used. It depended on the authority of that dealer having the ability to program the keys correctly. When you and I follow the programming of the Lord Jesus Christ, things just seem to work. But otherwise, it's hit and miss, isn't it? We substitute our own judgment. We do things our own way. You ever hear this or even say it? Well, I know the Bible says this, but I know there's this verse that tells us to do this, but right there you're in trouble. Come on. Right there you're in trouble. Because if the Bible, because what everything Jesus said in the Bible, everything God speaks to us by his Holy Spirit, they agree. So it's not the Bible said it, but it's the Bible said it that settles it. All of us have a source of authority in our lives that will determine how we think and live. Listen to this. For some people, it's reason. I live the way I live because I think. I live according to my thinking. For others, it's experience. You know, I live the way I live because I feel a certain way. It just feels right. You ever heard that? Or that doesn't feel right. So we live by our feelings. That's dangerous. Others rely on tradition. I live this way because this is the way we've always done it. That can get you in trouble. The real way to live is by living by revelation. I live the way I live because God says so. Jesus is still teaching. He's still guiding. He's still directing if we will only hear his voice. Fourthly, Jesus' voice delivers. A man possessed by an evil spirit came into the synagogue. And he is babbling out things and causing a ruckus. And Jesus speaks to him. He speaks with power. He commands the demons to be quiet and come out of the man. Be quiet. The second Jesus said, be quiet, that demon stopped speaking through that man. Then he said, come out of the man. Jesus' voice delivers with power, and he delivers from bondage. This man was set free. He was no longer oppressed. He was no longer possessed, whatever term you want to use. He was set free. Why? All simply by the voice of Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jesus' voice is still delivering. Jesus' voice is still setting people free. Hallelujah. Jesus' voice still has power. Jesus' voice still breaks bondages today. Hallelujah. Whatever's got you bound today, Jesus can set you free. Pastor Tim, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you can still have bondages in your life. You can still have strongholds in your life. Your ways of thinking, your habits. A lot of things in your life can be bondage, can be strongholds. The good news is you don't have to live the rest of your life in bondage. Scripture says, he whom the Son sets free, hallelujah, is free indeed, hallelujah. Whether you're here in this church, watching online, whoever it is, the voice of Jesus is still delivering. Question is, do we want to be set free? Do we want those strongholds in our life broken? Jesus will set us free. Some people don't. In the closing days of World War II, Allied bombings of munitions factories around Essen, Germany became more and more frequent. When the air raid siren sounded, armed guards would rush to the bomb shelters, leaving the slave laborers, often the Jewish, they were Jewish and they were female, leaving them to huddle in the rubble and take their own chances. On March 11, 1945, at the height of a fierce bombardment, a woman named Elizabeth Roth and five companions decided to make their escape. They crept to the barbed wire surrounding the factory. They crawled through a gap. They made their way across an empty field to a hill overlooking the town where they hoped to find a hiding place. And there, just on the edge of freedom, one of the young girls lost her nerve. She said, I can't do it. She left the other five. She went back across the field, back through the gap in the barbed wire, back to the munitions factory. The very next day, along with 500 other female workers, she was loaded onto a train and sent to Buchenwald prison camp, where she died in the gas chamber. In recounting this story, William Manchester says, it is a common phenomenon among escapees. The known, however ghastly, seems preferable to the unknown. We say today, who would do such a thing? We would. Because often human beings, even in bondage, they're comfortable with it. Come on, you know this is true. It's the known. It's the known. And Jesus' voice speaks to deliver. Hey, oh, that's the unknown. I don't know if I can, I don't know. I don't know if I want to change. I don't know what's going to happen. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that puts people into bondage. I'm telling you today that the voice of Jesus still delivers. And freedom is always better than bondage. Amen? Jesus' voice still delivers today. Hallelujah. The voice of Jesus. Now, I've been talking about Jesus' voice still speaking, I want to just talk for a moment about the means he uses. You say, Pastor Tim, Jesus lived on the earth 2,000 years ago. You're saying he still speaks to us today. And what means does he use? What methods does he use? I want to share four of them with you. What means does he use? Number one, he uses his word. I've already referenced that. If the word says it, that settles it. The word of God correctly interpreted is our guidebook for life, and the Lord speaks to us through his word. Amen? That's why some basics like reading the word of God every day help keep us on the right path. He speaks to us through his word. Secondly, he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit, speaking to our spirits. God's Holy Spirit communicates with us, with our spirits. Why it's important to spend time in prayer, spend time in communion with him so his spirit can speak. Anybody ever had the Holy Spirit drop something into your spirit? Amen. Thirdly, he speaks to us through his people. Did you know that God can speak to you through other people? That doesn't, now the Bible says test the spirits. That doesn't mean anything everybody says. Especially if they put a thus saith the Lord on it, doesn't mean it's accurate or it's beneficial, right? But God can speak to you through other people. You know what the biggest hindrance to that is? And I've experienced it myself, full confession. The biggest hindrance to God speaking to you through other people is pride. I don't need him telling me. Who do you think you are? Now, there's a way to do it. You don't hit somebody over the head with a Bible, say thus saith the Lord. There's a way to do it. But pride can keep us from hearing what God has to say through other people. Fourth way, God speaks to us is through circumstances. God will often arrange circumstances to direct our lives. Anybody ever been directed by circumstances? Of course you have. So he uses the means of his word, his spirit, his people, and circumstances. But God still speaks today. How does he speak into our lives today? In conclusion, Jesus' voice announces that his kingdom is near and that the only way to God is to repent and commit to him. Jesus' voice calls to us to follow wholeheartedly after him and pursue his purpose, his will, and his agenda for our lives. Jesus' voice, thirdly, teaches life principles that work and how to order our priorities as he would have us do. And fourthly, Jesus' voice delivers with divine power from any bondage that can bind us. Hallelujah. I have one final question as we close today. Will you respond to the voice of God speaking into your life today? Will you respond to God's voice speaking into your life today?